三，
吃第一。
You're tuning in to Don't Sleep New York, a podcast for the New Yorker who wants to stay up on policy and politics in the city that never sleeps. My name is Arpan, and I'm joined by Matt and Rana Joy. We're three New Yorkers who are trying to become more informed about the inner workings of our city, and we want to take you along for the ride. You've probably walked around the city and noticed those advertisement-fueled kiosks on the sidewalk, where someone might be charging their phone. Link NYC, launched in 2015 to replace payphones and offer charging ports and public Wi-Fi. There are almost 2,000 kiosks around the city to date. And while it might not seem like these kiosks are bringing Wi-Fi to the masses, they are in fact part of a much larger citywide strategy to tackle the near invisible issue of broadband equity, which is access to high-speed internet for all. In today's age, the internet should be considered a public good. And without proper access to it, all other aspects of life can suffer, from doing homework to navigating your benefits. And that's why you might be surprised to hear that over 1.5 million people in New York City lack both household and mobile broadband. But there have been, and there are, several plans to address this. In today's episode, we're going to break down broadband equity, what it means for New Yorkers, and what's being done about it at the federal, state, and city level. So let's get started. So let's start by defining some of the key terms. What is broadband equity?
Yeah, I think similar to some of the other topics we've covered on our podcast, it's important to understand the language being used both in reporting and in generally in documents that the city issues. So specifically for broadband equity, there are two terms that we need to define. One is availability. So broadband availability is just, does your neighborhood or does your house have an ability to get internet or mobile broadband?
And that's referring to the actual like infrastructure. Are there fiber optic cables that reach your area, or it's similar to like, is there telephone poles in your area?
Yeah, it's like when you move into a new apartment, you're saying Spectrum, Fios, you're checking what's available. So that is availability. And then the more important term and what we're going to focus in on is access. So it's a bit confusing, but access defined in this specific context is if you actually have a plan and are paying for either mobile broadband or
home internet. Yeah, and I think it's important also to highlight that from an availability standpoint, New York is actually very high ranking in the country. And that's one of the reasons we're focusing on access, because here is where, and I know I was very surprised when we started doing this research, the access rates are, I think, much lower than you would assume just based on kind of everyone has the internet, right? But that's clearly not the case.
The other thing to keep in mind is that when we talk about broadband equity, we're talking about access for sure, but what level of broadband are you getting access to? Where is the equity in terms of not just getting access, but how much broadband you're receiving, if that's the right way to talk about broadband? So when we think about the initiatives that are in place that we're going to unpack in a little bit, we're talking about high-speed broadband, which is defined as, I think, a minimum download speed of 25 megabytes per second. For mobile broadband, we're talking about 3G or higher. And I think that's important because as we think about the new use cases for internet in daily life, even thinking about, you know, pandemic-related education initiatives around teaching kids on computers using Zoom, you do need in this day and age probably access to a higher level of broadband in order to actually accomplish those daily tasks of video chatting, of accessing certain websites, and even watching YouTube videos.
Yeah, or even that's important to cover the child angle, but also the adult angle, right? In many jobs nowadays, there are expectations to be able to take calls or look at emails when you're at home. So that's important from that aspect as well.
Yeah, it's just one other thing that can't be taken for granted. As more things move on the internet, we can't forget that not everybody has internet.
Yeah, and I want to stress what Arpan kind of covered at on the top. So 40% of New York City households lack the combination of both home and mobile broadband, and 18% have neither. And that's 1.5 million people.
And that's a crazy statistic, because it may not seem like that on the surface, but if you walk into your local library, for example, you'll see a lot of folks who are there not just to, you know, check out books, but maybe to use the public Wi-Fi that exists within the library. And we're not going to really dive into this on this episode, but broadband is just the first step towards digital equity. Having the actual devices is another step, and that's a whole kind of other issue. But, you know, if you go to your library, you'll kind of see both of those pools coming together, just as an example of folks who are looking for means to close that digital divide, as the term gets used.
Right, and because, like we said, this is not an availability problem, this is an access problem. I think is it fair to sum this up as saying it's largely an income issue here? And I mean, you can go back to some of our episodes on housing, even where we're talking about how expensive apartments are. You know, the minimum amount you might be paying a month for mobile or broadband internet in your house could be $60 a month, $100 a month, maybe. That ends up being a good chunk of money when you're adding that on top of what's already a struggle to even pay rent. So this kind of just furthers the divide and the lack of access that lower income people might have to the type of products and information that could actually help them.
Totally. Vicious cycle, right?
Yeah, and that's a good segue into, like, what are we doing about this? So one of the bigger things that New York City has rolled out recently, or was rolled out by Bill de Blasio, was the Internet Master Plan. So that was a plan to spend $157 million in order to help get competitive access to broadband to the lower underserved areas of New York, so primarily Queens, Bronx, and parts of Brooklyn.
And so is part of the master plan then largely to just subsidize internet connection that exists already, or is it actually to build a whole new set of infrastructure that is inherently more affordable?
So, and this kind of just quick aside here, reading through the master plan just makes me, dare I say it, miss some of the de Blasio days, because it's actually a pretty well thought out and researched plan. And there's a great, you know, PDF that's available online if people want to dig into what that plan is. But it's like Ron Andre was saying, it's the combination of creating a competitive marketplace with a diverse range of providers. So the Internet Master Plan was also looking at how to incorporate minority and women-owned businesses into the solutions of broadband equity. It was the idea of using city-owned assets like rooftops and lampposts to install broadband equipment. It was going to be an investment in publicly owned fiber optic infrastructure, which means city-owned fiber optics. Right now, if Verizon Fios is coming to your neighborhood, it means Verizon is going underground, digging up and planting their own fiber optics that they own. This is to kind of create an investment that the city can own and control. And so the $157 million is really not just, to answer your question, Matt, it's not just about creating a subsidy. It's actually about creating a longer term solution where the city retains control over a portion of that access to broadband and the availability even.
And just to put it in context, like, so people who live in Manhattan, they do have, or quite a few of them have different service providers, but it's quite a known thing amongst internet experts and the industry that these service providers definitely favor higher income neighborhoods. Even so that in 2017, the city actually sued Verizon for not expanding fiber optic infrastructure into the outer boroughs as they had promised. So this is an actual known issue of these big companies not serving a certain population, knowing that they're not going to make as much bang on their buck.
And beyond that, you also have plenty of situations where people are left with only one choice of provider, which creates a non-competitive environment, which is likely also not good for prices.
So that was de Blasio's plan that he'd put in place.
Actually, one thing really quick, it might be important for some context on the timing of that plan.
So that plan was introduced in 2020. And as part of that plan, they were canvassing companies who would actually help build infrastructure. So as Arpan alluded to, minority-owned companies, not just the big Verizon, Altice, Spectrums of the world. And as we transitioned mayors, nothing had been executed yet. And as Mayor Adams came in, he's actually, as of this summer, halted the plan altogether.
Yeah, so the Adams administration has shelved the Internet Master Plan to focus on, and these are direct quotes from the administration, on, quote, stopping the bleeding. And so what that means is that while the Internet Master Plan might be a solution that is aimed at a longer term fix to broadband equity, the Adams administration is more focused on immediate quick wins. And so the kind of crux of the new administration's focus is really on a program that they're calling Big Apple Connect, which is focused primarily on NYCHA housing and providing a subsidy for high-speed internet for NYCHA housing.
Yeah, yeah. So basically, a summary of Adams's plan is he's working with Altice and Spectrum, soon to be Verizon, to essentially subsidize the internet for NYCHA to $0. And that would comes out to be about $30 million a year for 3 years. From taxpayer money, which I don't think anyone has an issue with.
But the problem is it's very much like a Band-Aid solution, because you're not really building anything that's going to solve equity in a longer term sense.
Correct. And it'll just continue to have to be coming out of taxpayer money as well if you want to continue this plan. Now, the irony is, or I guess to play somewhat of a defense of Adams, there's also the Affordable Connectivity Program, which is part of the Connect All program that Kathy Hochul has launched at a state level, which includes both state funding but primarily federal funding from the recent acts that Biden has passed, American Rescue and the Inflation Act, to provide broadband equity. And the Connect All plan kind of touches on similar points of the Internet Master Plan.
And I think the other thing, I guess, again, to play some defense of Adams, when he says stopping the bleeding, that's not totally incorrect. Obviously, COVID exacerbated a lot of these issues with more people, particularly students, needing the internet at home. So it's not a bad thing to make some progress in the short term to ensure everyone has broadband internet. But the fact that he simultaneously stopped the Internet Master Plan, which actually would build things more fundamental, I guess I'm curious, why not both? Was it simply a budget issue, or is he just hoping that Hochul takes care of this at the state level, like you said, Ron and Joy?
I think we can have a lot of conjecture here. Of course, Adams hasn't come out and, you know, stated why this is the case, while a lot of city council folks have kind of pushed against this decision. The answer has kind of been focused more on this this justification that the pipes are already laid, the infrastructure is already laid by the big ISPs, Altice and Charter Communications, which own Spectrum. So why double the efforts is one of the things that the Adams administration is saying. Other kind of opposition points to the Big Apple Connect program say that, you know, the Affordable Connectivity Program, which is the federal subsidy part of the Infrastructure Act, gives people $30 to use towards their broadband. So why is the Adams administration subsidizing it also? And in response, they're kind of like, well, people can use their $30 towards mobile broadband while Big Apple Connect handles home internet. So not an entirely wrong justification, but there are some other facts. You know, I think, Ronjo, you were talking a little bit about where that $157 million for the master plan was coming from.
So I think, de Blasio had come out in 2020 for the $157 million for his internet master plan, part of that would come out of the NYPD budget. And just to state some facts, Matt Fraser, who's now Eric Adams, is essentially CTO of the city, chief technology officer of the city, was a former head of IT at the NYPD. And then there's also the angle of, which is all politicians fall into this bucket, they want their plan to succeed. So Adams executing the de Blasio plan does not give him the sheen that like his own execution of his own plan will give him for re-election, you know, in the next cycle. So there's always that game.
Right. So, I mean, you can argue that the Big Apple Connect plan on the surface is not bad. It seems more that the shelving of the Internet Master Plan is arguably an act of some political stubbornness on behalf of Adams, whereas perhaps the best solution would be those two things in unison.
But there is also the point to be made that I think is fair, which is that the state and federal government are also trying to tackle this issue at the same time. So Adams might not be entirely wrong here to focus on stopping the bleeding, while as Rana Joy said earlier, the Connect All initiative, you know, which is $1.1 billion from the federal government and $300 million state money, it's obviously tackling all of New York State, but New York City is probably going to see a big portion of the infrastructure that's being built through that program. That said, there isn't a lot of information out right now on how that's happening and how these state and federal plays are going to work in parallel to the city functions. The only kind of movement I've been able to see so far on the Connect All initiative is a $10 million pilot program that Governor Hochul started, but that's more focused on bringing broadband infrastructure and availability to rural areas of New York. So essentially laying the infrastructure for broadband in places where none of the major players are even there. So those people...
Yeah, where you don't... Well, that's an availability issue more than...
And so it's unclear how that it's unclear how that $1 billion from the New York State Connect All initiative is going to trickle down. But I could see Adams kind of being like, hey, I need to focus on these immediate issues, and in the long term, we'll let the state handle the bigger fixes.
Yeah. I think the key message we have here is that this is a problem. This is a very big problem, where 17% of New York City residents don't have internet or mobile broadband in their home because it's too expensive. The current solution, or the solution that de Blasio had come up with, has now currently been put on pause while Adams puts out a program specifically for NYCHA, and Kathy Hochul has launched a wider statewide program that we're hoping can address what de Blasio's Internet Master Plan was going to do, which is to bring mobile and normal high-speed broadband to the underserved community at a competitive rate that they can actually afford it.
Well said. So that's our episode for today. It's clear that there's an immediate need to bring high-speed broadband to those who need it. But there's also a need to build a long-term sustainable solution. And we'll just have to wait and see how Mayor Adams's plan will play alongside Governor Hochul's and the federal government. In the meantime, don't take for granted that availability of broadband and access to broadband are not the same thing. This season, we'll continue to unpack the issues that affect our community here in New York City. So stay up to date with us by following @DontSleepNY on Twitter and Instagram. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on your podcasting platform of choice. It really helps us help more people like you get informed. The music you heard in this episode was provided by Brooklyn-based artist and producer Jackery. We'll see you all in a few weeks. Until then, don't sleep.